Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to talk about a subject I have never, ever found someone that wasn't interested in, and it's the big M word. We're going to be talking about M&M today, money and manifesting. And my guest, Diane Garris, is in Texas on a trip at this time in Dallas, which is a fabulous, fabulous city. And we are talking to her via technology, and Diane, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Diane, this is a subject that, my gracious, I don't care where a person is in the world, financial stability, especially here in the U.S. today, is such a big, big factor. And fear, that little word, F-E-A-R, causes so much anxiety and stress. And if you look at history, there's always ups, there's always down. But the fear syndrome with being able to have abundance in life of, oh, wow, look at all the people that have lost so much money. What are we going to do? What is it that happened to you that made you aware of the fact that one could make a difference, not only with their thinking and their actions, but they could really manifest what they wanted financially? What happened to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, what happened to me, I did not have a hard time financially, but in 2007, right at the end there, I was counseling with a lot of clients that were trying to manifest with the law of attraction and had been using the principles set forth in The Secret, and were having a difficult time and calling me for therapy, as you will.
Mm-hmm.
and because I'm a psychic, clairvoyant counselor specializing in what I call manifesting therapy. And so writing money and manifesting was just the way to help people make sense of money and manifesting.
So when you started this, what gave you the aha, if you will, that you said, I have something here that is going to complement the law of attraction? What was it that made you aware of the technique that you developed?
Well, Donna, all of my work is channeled. It's all channeled. And that's really how money and manifesting came about. And really what's different about it is that it's fiction, and the fiction is wrapped around the information that I knew to be true. Because, you know, as we all know, something was very missing from The Secret. And that basically is, money is energy, money is the energy of exchange. That's kind of what we're missing. The law of attraction is a universal law, and it's filtered down into mass consciousness as the truth that it is in this time frame, so that we all get that money is the energy of exchange. And that's basically what we're doing here. We're having a course correction
mm-hmm.
on this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very nice way of putting it together. Now, you brought out the fact that your book, Money and Manifesting, has fiction in it, but you've combined both fiction as well as nonfiction in this publication that I have in front of me.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very nice combination, because you're dealing with different people. Nicholas, the man that you speak about in the book, who did you base him on?
Donna, I have never written a character in my life, and excuse me. I was just told to write the characters. So he's not really based on anyone, but he's based on a pattern of a general pattern that people have, because I specialize in working with people's patterns. And Nicholas's pattern is that self-worth is money. And
okay.
Money is self-worth. Money is self-worth.
Positive thinking you touch
yes.
on, because here's Nicholas. Now, Nicholas is the first character that we come in contact with the book.
Yes.
He has got so much money, he couldn't possibly spend it in a lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, the earth would have to disappear. So that he would have nothing at all. But I look at this, and you follow his story up right away with a question. What's wrong with positive thinking?
Yes. Nothing. We need positive thinking, but what we were taught with the secret, what we were taught with the law of attraction, is that we can manifest with only the power of our minds, and that's, you know, that's what's missing. It's part of the equation. We need the positive thinking. We need to understand that form follows thought, that thought and positive thinking is part of the process, but it's not the whole thing. And so what's wrong with positive thinking is that it's not enough.
You make a comment in your book that if, and I quote directly from it, if we insist upon success, showing up and returning to us as money or things, we then limit the universe's ability to bring us what we need in other ways. And I was just talking with someone this morning that made that comment, that for them, success was going to be breaking what they call their stinking thinking, and also their particular lifestyle patterning that they had adopted, because they thought that this is what you were supposed to do. They had bought into a paradigm that they had been taught when they were very young. And 18 years later, they think, you know, I really don't like this paradigm. Why have I stayed with it for 18 years? So it's important to know that there are many, many levels to life, which I think my listeners do know that. But it is something that they often get confused about, because we are so indoctrinated with different opinions, and this is how you're supposed to be, this is what is optimum. I mean, there's just so many examples that we can give, and it really takes a shift of thinking for an individual to recognize they have to be true to themselves.
It's true, Donna. You know, what's happening here with this course correction is that we need to learn to shift the entire paradigm that we've been taught. And you know, we've been taught that money is success, money is self-worth, money is everything. And on a global, universal level here, that this is what we're working on. So we need to shift it. And how we begin to do this is where understand that not one of us came in knowing one thing about money. Whatever we know about it was taught to us. But we did come in here with the innate ability to exchange. We, as babies, we exchange with smiles, with laughter, with love, and that's our exchange mechanism. But then we're taught what we know about money from people that are our caretakers, that have their own ideas about what money is, and then that shapes the grid, the foundation for the rest of our lives in terms of what we think we know about money.
I'd agree. I think that's very true. Your next character in the book is Carla. And
yeah.
I think most of the time when people first read about Carla, she's the woman a woman loves to hate.
Yeah.
Because she's a real curious personality. You automatically, with the first reading about Carla, the word is gold digger. That is the thing that comes to mind. And there's more to Carla than that. But you have taken your stories about each of these characters that you've put together, and you've broken them down into short segments. And then again, you're following up with some various things. Now, Carla has her own particular attitude and belief system that you just discussed. And then after her story, there's barriers to manifesting, patterns, belief systems, and illusions. What have you found in your working with people is the most common barrier?
It's Carla represents entitlement. She represents victim, but mostly entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is one of the most common barriers. It's because I have suffered, because I have nothing, I am entitled. I'm entitled to a man. I'm entitled to whatever I want. And they don't see anything wrong with it. So one of the purposes of these characters And the way the book is structured is so that people understand their pattern, if they can see themselves reflected in a kind of a non-confrontational way. Because, you know, you can tell people all day long, well, you're in entitlement, and they won't see it. But if they see it in Carla, perhaps, or in any of these characters, these barriers, then they have a platform for shifting their lives. And so I feel like the most common barrier truly is, the biggest barrier maybe is entitlement. That's Carla. She's entitled.
$15 million. Did some of yours perk up here? I think so. That's a nice round sum of change. What would one do if you had $15 million? Lots of times people think the more money they have, the better their life is going to be. But in my view, money has always brought with it a sense of responsibility. You have to be a good custodian, because if you're not, it's going to just sort of fly away with its own special pair of wings. And what is your purpose for talking about $15 million? Why did you want to bring that sum up? Why that particular sum?
Well, primarily because I believe what was taught with the law of attraction when it first came in here, in this mass consciousness kind of way, is that we write ourselves a check for some amount of money that we decide that we want, and then we poof that, and we put a whole lot of energy on it, and we poof it out with our minds. And I was counseling with people that said, well, hey, I don't get it. I wrote my check, you know, as I was taught. I put it on my bulletin board, my vision board, or what have you, and focused on it every day, and I just don't get why I have that. So that's the purpose of that, is to show how, you know, the thinking about it and the putting of the energy on it is only just part of the process, and it's not going to work that way. It's supposed to work as one part of the process. So we limit ourselves by doing that. We limit ourselves by saying, well, this is my idea of wealth, $15 million, whatever your idea is, and you put it on your vision board or what have you, and you put energy on it, and now you have truly limited yourself to your version of the story, and you block yourself in this way. That was the purpose of that.
Lucky. Now, this is a young woman who is just seemingly hitting one difficult time after another. You say her secret mantra is, I work a lot of hours and I don't make any money.
Yes.
Now, that is a common statement on the part of a lot of people. And in today's world, where there is this appearance that so much has disappeared, people are being bombarded with the information, there are no jobs, there's this, there's that, the other, that has disappeared, that's not available. What would you say to someone who is in Detroit, who has a home, a family, and they say, no jobs? What would you want to say to them?
I want to say that we create from who we are. We don't create from, I must get a job and then I get a paycheck and then this is my life. We must, as a people, as a humanity, learn to align with our life's purpose. And in the character of Lucky, the illustration really is that she was a waitress because that's what she was taught, and that's how she understood that she gets money. I go to work, I get money from this. But her her purpose in life was to be a writer, and she had great success from that in the end. So when we get out of the fear of having to have this job, or thinking that our lives need to show up in a certain way, we free ourselves to align with our life's purpose, and then everything follows from that.
Yantras and mantras. What's a yantra? And I think most of my listeners know what a mantra is. But why don't you explain the difference between the two?
Yes. Well, a mantra is a set of words that a person says, so we can kind of equate that with an affirmation. It's this is my mantra. For example, I work a lot of hours and I don't make any money. Or I am, I am, I am. These are mantras. A yantra is a picture, a kind of that you draw or create of your being. Yes, and when you see my job and my goal with Money and Manifesting and with my work is to help people connect the dots. So once you connect your mantra, affirmation, that linear part with that deeper part of who you are, then you have the ability to move forward.
And that's what we all want. Now, you've got another female character, Elaine.
Yes.
And this is a woman who I think most people would envy. She is just absolutely lovely. She's slender. I should say most women. And yet, this is a woman that didn't have a lot of regard for her own physical well-being. You bring some very interesting points out about her. Where did she come from?
Same thing, Donna. It's illustrative of people's patterns that you know, I've counseled people over the years, and certain patterns just are very prevalent. So Elaine she's a yoga master instructor, but she's been victimized and raped and victimized in every way. And so the self-esteem is low and the vibration is fear. And yet we see Elaine as someone who has it all together. She just doesn't know it. So the point is to get out of the fear and step away, kind of get from the comfort zone. And you can move forward from there. And she did. She absolutely did.
Yes, she did. Now, you bring your characters back in after a portion of your book. Nicholas comes back in. Carla is joined by her husband, Carlos. And there's fascinating twists that you have where all of these different personalities go through their particular journeys, experiencing things that they didn't think they would experience, causing them, in some respects, to grow up, and others to realize that there was a different value in life than the dollar, others recognizing financial responsibility. All of these little bits of wisdom being brought in through the experiences of these various individuals. You try very well, I must say, to bring the integration of the mind, body, and spirit. When you were putting this book together, did you see it actually in the format as you ended up producing it in?
No. Here, as I mentioned, I never wrote a character in my life. So I was told, just write the characters, and I said, well, what will they do? And I was told just they will interact. And my work on this planet is to help people connect the dots. So after I wrote them, the characters kind of connected themselves. And and they interacted. So at a base, you have these characters that represent the different patterns that I understand stick people. You know, they get very stuck in these patterns. And then these people connected, and then they kind of resolved it all and made it all higher. They lifted everything up. So that's really the goal. But I had a fascinating experience writing Money and Manifesting because, as I said, I didn't know what they were going to do. And one thing that really fascinated me even and astounded me, I remember just laughing out loud, was that, I won't spoil the story, but Nicholas ends up interacting with Carla, and they have an encounter on the beach, much to both of their surprises, because they both have viewpoints of each other's life stations, as you will. And Carla was very lowly, and Nicholas was very, you know, high and mighty. But in the end, she is a messenger to him with her tarot cards, and I have my angel cards, Voice of the Angels, the Healing Journey, spiritual cards, so I am familiar with card decks and divination decks, if you will, but I'm not that familiar with tarot at all. And so out of Carla's pocket comes this tarot card and lands on the ground between them, and as I say, I won't spoil the story, but I said I had to look the card up, of the meaning of the card. I looked it up, and it is the representation of a young person, arrogant young person, being brought a message by somebody. So I was astounded. I closed that out, and I said, oh my goodness, I could not have planned that any better if I tried. That is so divinely inspired.
Fascinating how synchronicity works. You have something unique in your book that I've never seen before. And you talk about the feng shui money tree. Let's discuss what that money tree is and how people can make one.
Yeah. Well, the feng shui money tree, that actually came from a blog post that I did one day, and it got incorporated in Money and Manifesting. It is the teaching of how to transform energy. That's basically what it is. It illustrates how different barriers to doing, to manifesting what we want. And so how we do it is kind of a process of getting out of what we think we know and getting out of what stands in our way. And it's very easy to transform energy. And I hesitate to use the word alchemy, but truly it's all really about transforming the lower. In other words, the vibration, the root chakra vibration of money, because we have that in our society as survival, and transforming that into a higher vibration of aligning with our purpose, and this is what brings us what we need. It's not, the more you focus on money itself, the more it eludes you. So the feng shui money tree is a teaching about basically how to transform the lower into the higher.
Now, the money tree, I'm going to tell them how to do it.
Okay.
But they've got to get the book so that they can remember how to do it. And
yeah.
It's on page 128 in the book, Money
yeah.
and Manifesting. Now, this is what you do. You take pieces of paper. She recommends
yeah.
green pieces of paper. And you don't put on it anything but something positive, and you take the worthless pieces of paper on which you have written, I'm standing corrected, I don't have any money.
There you go, yeah.
So you write that down, and you got all these little pieces of paper, I don't have any money. So
on green pieces of paper.
On
yeah.
green pieces of paper, right. And you tear and crumple these things up, put them in a large container, and this is really going to make your day, ladies and gentlemen. You add some glue or make some glue out of flour and water. Doesn't cost much. You can get the flour and water, make glue, just like you did when you were kids in kindergarten.
Yes.
And you mix it all up with your hands. You have to handle it, and you form the paper into a tree.
Yes.
And then you let it dry, and you put it in the corner of your home.
The wealth corner, yes.
In the wealth corner. What is the wealth corner?
Well, it's, I'm not a big feng shui expert, but really, if you're standing out there, it's a Bagua map. It's a very basic elemental feng shui map. If you're standing at your front door going in as if you were entering your home as a guest, the wealth corner is in the back left corner of your home. And again, that's very Americanized version and watered down of a real feng shui, but that's what we use here in America. So place it in your wealth corner.
In the wealth corner. And then, of course, yes, you guys can go ahead and read as much feng shui as you want if you want to get more detail on that. But like you said, that's the real simplistic version.
Yes.
And it's not just the paper. Someone will say, what difference does it make? You've got paper, you've got glue. This sounds absolutely ridiculous. But it is the action, isn't it, Diane, that along with the belief system that creates an energy.
Yes, that's exactly it, Donna. And it's another way of connecting the dots. It's mind, body, spirit. It's belief system that money is power. And then get your hands involved. That's body and spirit, you know, the feng shui. You're making this thing. You're creating. It's an exercise in creating what you want in a different way than you're used to, having the representation of. And then amazing things happen when we do that.
Yes, and it can come in. I think the biggest thing is to not worry about how it's going to manifest itself. So many times we will say, it's got to come this way or it's not going to work at all. And you just never know when or how something is going to bring it to you. You just don't know. And there's a gazillion different ways that manifestation can occur. And I think that is something that we have to keep in mind. Whether it's money, whether you're wanting to sell your home, whether you're wanting to go to school, whether you're wanting a new job, there are always going to be things that we want to manifest in our lives. And I think many times we have to trust and let go. Don't you agree with that?
I do, and that is the $15 million, Donna, because when you're so attached to that outcome, you block the path. And when we're attached to our homes and our cars and our things, we block it because of the attachment. And so we need to let go. And I have that balloon example in Money and Manifesting. Do you remember it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And I've got the book in hand.
Okay. It's when we're trying to, let's say we're trying to, this applies, and Money Manifesting is not just about manifesting money. I didn't name the book Manifesting Money because it's about how to manifest and create your life any way that you desire. But I use this example as trying to manifest a relationship. So take a balloon, fill it with helium, write on the balloon the word relationship. Now tie, you have a string there, so to the balloon. So now tie the string to your ring finger because that is representative in our culture of marriage and commitment and relationship. So now try, you have this balloon tied to your finger. Try to get dressed, and you're going to find that it gets in your way. It's cumbersome. So most people at this point figure out that they have to let go. So they take the balloon, let's say, into their living room, and they let it go. And they think, oh, yes, I've let this go. Wow, I let it go. But then it's confined. It's confined in the space. And then they say, all right, I have to let this go more. So then they follow the balloon around the entire house, Remember, it's still confined. It's what's in the house. They follow it around. They try to tell it what to do. They say, turn into a relationship. Turn into a relationship. Well, the balloon cannot possibly turn into a relationship. It is still a balloon on a string in the confines of your home. You have not let it go. You have fooled yourself into believing you've let it go. So now what needs to happen to make this relationship, quote-unquote relationship, turn into a real relationship, form made manifest? You need to take it outside, let it go up to the heavens, trust that it's going to return to you as form made manifest. And here's another issue now, because this is where the thoughts come in. Some people, honestly, they can do it, they let it go, but they believe somewhere in the back of their mind that this balloon is going to come back and hit them in the face as a deflated piece of rubber instead of a relationship. And so there are, you know, many parts to that letting go. Let it go so it can come back as form made manifest.
Diane Garris is my guest. I want to thank you, Diane, for being with me. Money and Manifesting, it's a power-packed book. You've heard a story about the balloon. You've had a little bit of feng shui. Also, there's wonderful stories in here about people, characters, that relay wisdom as well. Diane, we're out of time here. Your website is voiceoftheangels.com, voiceoftheangels.com. Have a wonderful time in Dallas, and thank you for being my guest today.
It's my pleasure, Donna. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all your listeners.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Visit voiceoftheangels.com to find out about Diane's other publications. And Diane Garris, DYANGARRIS. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. If you would like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Here is the toll-free telephone number you can call in to. It is 888-815-9756. And by the way, that is worldwide, 888-815-9756. When you call in, if you happen to be a first-time listener and you don't know what goes on here, if you have a question for me where you want to ask about dream interpretation or something like that, feel free to do so. I'm happy to do that. But I also do readings for people on the air, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and of course I love to know what part of the country or the world you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you are welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. There's just so many good stories about wonderful, wonderful people that I wanted to share one of these stories with you. It's amazing what people will do when circumstances affect their lives and they get to be pretty darn uncomfortable or downright ugly sometimes. They take what otherwise could be very devastating in the life, psychologically damaging, as some people would say, and they use it as leverage to catapult themselves into something brand new. And there's a young woman, I've got a picture of her in front of me, and her name is Mika Hill. And this is a young woman who is just 30 years of age, and she went through a very serious illness. A nutritional deficiency caused her to go entirely bald. Well, for anyone that has ever dealt with anyone that's gone through illness of any kind, and when you lose your hair, your eyebrows go, it's very devastating. It is really something that makes you feel as if you are not ever going to be whole. It's really a very heavy impact, male or female, but especially with women. And when she was going through this process of illness, she was losing hair just by the handful. She said she cried when she'd comb her hair because big gobs of it would come out. She said, I cried every time I looked in the mirror. And she said, I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I went out and I got a wig. And she said, the thing was, when she put that wig on, even though it was too small for her, it made her feel better. And she said, this is pretty significant. Well, she found out she had an iron deficiency in the body, nutritional deficiency. Once that was corrected, her hair came back. But this young woman, who was a U.S. Navy electronics technician, she decided, after her personal experience, that she wanted to learn how to make wigs. And she was the mother of two children. And out of her own imagination and with her own industry, she started making custom wigs after she graduated from her course. And she decided she was going to sell the wigs for $300, $800. I mean, these were really beautiful wigs. However, she found out that the people that wanted to be her clients, they had diseases like alopecia, cancer. All of their money was going in for their medical treatment. They didn't have the means to pay for the wigs. Their insurance didn't cover the cost. So she decided the wigs that she had made, she was going to give them away. She ended up spending over $10,000 of her own money for the supplies needed to make the wigs and the marketing. She was losing money. It was like a big hole. Well, she decided, along with a friend, she loved doing this so much, she wasn't going to give it up. And about a year ago, she and her friend set up a business called the Pink Barrette. In fact, you can go to her website called pinkbarrette.org. They decided they would put together a nonprofit organization. And they, to date, have donated about 60 wigs worth about $30,000. And she pays for the donations with profits from her custom line. those customers that have found her that say, I want you to do this. But they're using their savings to keep it afloat at this time. But she saw a woman that was seated in front of her at a particular event, and she tapped the woman on her shoulder and said, I'm going to make you look absolutely gorgeous. And the woman showed Mika a picture of her, and she had this gorgeous, long, long, black, just beautifully shiny hair. But she ended up getting an autoimmune disorder that left her with just a little bit on her head, and her self-image was totally shattered. Now, Mika, she made a wig for her, gave it to this woman, and she said, it made all the difference in the world. I felt I could go out and I could face what life had to offer me. And Mika said, when I can see people's self-confidence soar after they try on their own personal wigs, she said, it really brings tears to my eyes because this is my mission. She said, it is a most rewarding one. Now, I'm sure Mika is going to end up making a very good living off of this. She, like any entrepreneur, has to go through that financial curve. But this business is more to her than just making money. She's putting the energy into also making a difference in people's lives. And there are so many wonderful individuals whose stories cross my desk. I wish sometimes I had time to share them all with you. But this is one that was a poignant one. Mika may not ever get on Time Magazine, but she's making a difference in the lives of the people who cross her path. And we need to remember that whoever we are, wherever we are, we have the opportunity of choice. We have the opportunity of being a participant in life and actively putting ourselves in the stance of making a difference by our conduct, by being representative of the finest and best we possibly can be, to be an example for others. And at times, when we have the opportunity to remember to be kind, to be thoughtful, to be compassionate, it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you someone that is going to be a nothing in life. It actually empowers you. You can be practical. You can be down to earth. We need all of that. But we also need to realize that it takes a whole bunch of people to make this world go around. Greatness on any level is never accomplished by just one person. It's accomplished by a multitude of them. Mika Hill, I want to compliment you. My hat's off to you. I wish you the best, wherever you are. And I know that what you're doing for other people, with your own hands, with your own imagination, and with your caring, is making a difference. Each of us has that opportunity in our own way. Don't think you don't, because you do. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number, toll-free, to call into is 888-815-9756. That's all you need to do. Pick up the telephone and give me a buzz, and I'll tell you something about yourself, or maybe you have a question about a particular experience, paranormal, that you'd like to discuss with me. I'm very open for that. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with P.J. Nichols. We're going to be talking about a series of children's books, actually three of them, Noonie of Nunavak, Lewis the Lemur, and Vultures in the Cemetery. Why is this important? Well, children, if they are not encouraged to develop a love of reading, I don't care if it's with comic books, technical journals, history, doesn't make any difference. The joy of reading is a gift that when you give it to a child, it enables them to become empowered as they grow into adulthood, because then they learn to think for themselves if they are encouraged to do so, and that is very empowering. The Anderson Method, William Anderson, we're going to be talking about how we can take charge of our own physical wellness. Audacious Aging, Stephanie Marone is going to be my guest this Thursday. Hey, every day we're getting older. Why not be audacious? I love that word. And then on Friday, the A to Z Food Guide by Deanna Munich. If you have food allergies or know of someone who does, You're not going to want to miss that either. Great lineup of guests this week. Just remember, tell your friends and join us. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break for just a moment. Don't forget, you can give me a buzz, 888-815-9756, and summer's still with us. I've got something that'll make a wonderful dessert so easy, but what fun to make. Stay with me. I'll tell you more about it. I'll give you a clue. It does involve ice cream, one of the best foods on the planet. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Kate Beasley has a poem for summer that I really like. She said, "Dinner's over, dishes done. There's still a sliver left of sun. And time to stroll beneath the trees, enjoying evening's gentle breeze. Branch and leaf still hum summer's song. Enjoy it now. It can't last long." Oh, did she capture that or did she capture that? I was just saying that the other day to someone. I said, I got a call, and someone said, "Well, what are you doing?" And I said, "I am basking." And they said, "You're basking? Last time I talked to you, you were basking." I said, "Yes, I'm basking. Here in the Pacific Northwest, when you've got blue skies, temperatures are about 70 degrees, you don't stay in the house. You go out and you bask in that sunshine because you know it's going to be gone in just a short period." And it's so true. We can already smell fall in the air here in the Pacific Northwest. Our mornings are getting really, really, really cool. And we have sunshine in the afternoons, and there's the gentle breezes. So when I saw Kate's poem, I said, oh, I got to share that with you. Okay, have you got that pad of paper ready and that pen? This is an ice cream dessert. And when I came across this, I said, this is so simple. This is so much fun. The kids could help you make this. But if you wanted to have a party, you know, when we have the winding down of summer before school starts, and it's barbecue time, and we just want to do so many different things, sharing with family and friends, because when the hustle and bustle of school starts, believe me, you're not going to have the time to do that, even though you might have an Indian summer that comes together very nicely, and you wish you had the time to do it, but you're busy with school and work and all kinds of different things. Well, this is just so nice, and like I said, if you've got kids, they can help you with this. This is what you're going to need. And they look just beautiful. I've got photos of this, and I thought, this is so cool. It's so easy. All right. Now, you're going to need about 8 parchment paper sleeves. So what you do, you just go out and buy parchment paper, and you're going to make sleeves for little souffle cups. Now, if you don't have little souffle cups, improvise. You can use little coffee cups if you want, or you can use paper cups if you want. Improvise. Use your imagination, but you're going to need, this is for 8 servings, and you could make this for a crowd. You really could. But you need 8 3-ounce or 6-ounce cups. Souffle cups are adorable because they have all those little fluted edges to them and that type of thing. Then you're going to need about 2 quarts of ice cream. And, of course, you're going to want it, whatever's going to be the favorite flavor. And then you want to have things like fruit or pieces of chocolate, maybe crumbled up candy bars, cookies, coconut, edible flowers. There's no limit to the imagination. And again, if you get your kids involved in this, they're just going to have a wonderful time with it. Now, this is what you do. You take those containers, and it can be paper, it can be whatever you want it to be, and you make sleeves for them to go at the top of the cups, just like you would wrap a souffle. You want the souffle to rise, and you want it to keep its shape. Well, this is what you're going to do around these little cups. You're going to wrap parchment paper around each souffle cup so that the sleeve extends about 2 inches above the rim of the cup. And what you want to do is use freezer tape or what's one of the best tapes in the world? You haven't got anything else? Use duct tape. But seriously, what you do is just have some kind of tape, scotch tape, whatever, and you fasten the sleeve around the top of the cup. And then the ice cream needs to be a little bit softened. You don't want it runny. You want it soft. And you put the ice cream into the cups up to the top of the sleeves. And then what you do is take and refreeze it. So to assist you, you might want to use a muffin tin. And a standard cup or a souffle cup might fit inside, depending on the size, either maybe one of the large muffin tins, you know, the large muffin tin makers, or one of the small ones. And you just put it in the freezer, and you just leave it there. Because when it's frozen, ready to serve, you take them out of the freezer, remove the parchment paper, and then you garnish the ice cream. Sure, you can put in shards of chocolate, you know, favorite cookies, and that's where kids can just have such a good time. Maybe put some fresh fruit on the top of it, toasted coconut, maybe some gummy bears. What do you know? Just have fun. You go to an ice cream place and you pay a fortune just for one serving to have all of these things put on. Why not do something like this at home and let everybody make their own? Aha! Put something out on a Lazy Susan and say, this is ice cream if you wanted to have some chocolate, some whatever. You're choosing the ice cream. They will just have a great time. Now, what I gave you is 2 quarts is what it takes to make about 8 servings. So you can make the servings smaller if you want. Or you can make them, you know, the larger size, which is the 6-ounce. Regardless what you do, this could be so much fun. And then I came across some tips for barbecuing that were just amazing because I think barbecuing is terrific. But I would never, ever have thought that if you want to add a special flavor when you're charcoaling, if you want to give a meat a flavor, and it's not just rubbing spices into the meat. What you do is soak a bunch of your favorite fresh herb, like rosemary, thyme, or dill, in water for just a few minutes. Shake off the excess moisture, and it needs to be the fresh herbs, and then you toss it on top of the coals. And the aroma, like of the rosemary, when it's being charred by the coal, goes into the meat. And if you've got a gas grill, you can put the soaked herbs on the grates and then top it with whatever meat you are cooking. And also, I was not aware that to keep your meat juicy, you know, Labor Day's coming up and so many people are going to be barbecuing. If you've got a cut of beef that you're concerned about, it's going to dry out. This is a recommendation from a show called Hell's Kitchen. They say get your grill really hot and turn the meat just once. When the grill marks on the underside begins to get a little black, lift it up just slightly to see if it's doing that. The outside will form a crust that keeps all the juices and flavor inside, so even less expensive cuts of meat taste delicious. That's right. Now, they say if you choose low-priced bone-in meats, like chops and ribs, you're going to get more for your money, and tastier food if they have a bone in them. Why? There's something about having meat with a bone. Cooking meats, when it's still got the bone there, makes them even more tender. They didn't have an explanation for why, but it just is really great. And if you're having a party and you're concerned about people's food preferences, make it a potluck. Have them bring whatever it is their favorite meat or their favorite food so you know that everybody's going to be happy. I enjoy potlucks. I think they're really wonderful to do. It's a great way to get people together. It's easy on everybody's budget, and what a way to share with those people that you love and the friends that you care so deeply about. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care. We'll see you here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.